All right. Are you glad you're here this morning? Oh, that was weak. Are you glad you're here this morning? There we go. We're going to get started. Just a couple of announcements, and we're going to jump right into what we're going to do this morning. It's going to be different, and that's a good thing, too. Men's breakfast next Saturday, and then we are planning a baptism on Sunday, May 5th, late afternoon. And if you're interested in talking with somebody about baptism or even beginning the conversations with children, not that they jump right into that, but we use it as an opportunity to explain the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ first. And so that would be an opportunity for you to get a hold of me or one of the elders. We'll sit down, open God's Word, and talk with folks about baptism. It's a significant thing. We recognize our personal relationship is first and critical. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. And so we want to do that in obedience to him. And so we want to give you that opportunity. That's enough for announcements. Why don't we stand together and grab a Bible and open it to Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to read together. I'm going to read a couple of verses. You're going to read a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to read the first verse. You read the odd verses. I'll read the even ones. We're just going to read the four that are the last four verses of that particular chapter. Isaiah says this, God's Spirit inspiring. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable.
He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength.
Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Amen. Let's read verse 31 together again. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We want to wait on you. We want to be guided by your truth, be led by your Spirit. We want to be strong in the Lord, and we recognize your grace and your mercy needs to be appreciated and followed in order for that to happen. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We ask, Lord, this morning that this place would be absolutely yours, that our hearts would be open, that your Spirit would be in complete control of everything that happens here this morning. We thank you that we can worship you collectively in one body. And that's what we're here to do. So have your way, we pray, in our minds and in our hearts. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Super Church is going to stay here just for a little while, and then we'll dismiss. That's almost a song of an invitation of coming unto Jesus. Someone had sent me a song that I've listened to a few times of late, and it's I Speak the Name of Jesus Over You. And it's just recognizing, a little bit of a ring there, Billy, recognizing who we are in the Lord. If you're here this morning and you would say, I'm not confident that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's critical. It's important. And today might be the day of salvation and allow him to have his way and his work in your life. The body of Christ is an amazing thing. Those of us that are part of the body of Christ is an amazing thing, isn't it? Amen. We find identification with our Lord there. We find brotherhood there, and it's just been a part of my life since 1980, and I'm thrilled. I wanted this morning, as we get started, going to be a little bit different, and I wanted to give Terry Smith a microphone, and Terry wants to talk to our church family. So Terry, come on up here, and you take whatever time you need. At 11:55, a lot of them quit listening.
I'll watch the clock. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I have something that I want to share with you this morning. as a church family. And I'm going to go through this slow so I can try to keep my thoughts together. But I have something I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you the what. And then I'm going to tell you the why. And then I'm going to tell you the not why. Last Monday evening was our elders meeting for the month. And in that meeting, I resigned as being an elder. I also stepped down from all of my responsibilities for the worship team and the booth and stepped aside from all of it. And at the end of May, Michelle and I will no longer be playing for the worship teams. So now you know the what. Now I'm going to tell you the why. This is something that's been stirring in my mind and my heart for quite some time, and I've wrestled with it some. But some of you know, most of you know, we took a few weeks off, and in that time, I spent a lot of time praying and seeking the Lord. And always before, it was, no, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. Not time yet. This time, it's okay. It's time. So that's why I made that decision. Michelle and I have been involved in music and worship teams for 40 years. And it's been a long, wonderful road. Most of that time, I've been involved in church leadership of some kind of leadership. Michelle and I have been playing here for 13 years, and I've been an elder now 7 years, whatever, it's been something like that. And it's just a season in our life, and that's come to a close. And honestly, that's simply it. That's the why. Now I want to tell you the not why, which I think is very, very important for you to know. That's why I'm up here doing this. The not why is because there's something wrong. There is nothing wrong. There's no conflict. Working with Jerry and Kirk and Brian as elders has been absolutely wonderful. The camaraderie, the unity, the like-mindedness and focus that we have shared has been absolutely wonderful. As far as with the worship teams, I can't even explain to you how it's been. The relationships that have been built over these 13 years. There's nothing wrong. There's no conflicts. Wonderful, wonderful people to work with, and it's been a great road. And working with someone as close as we have in ministry, you build bonds that you don't get any other place. And I could tell you about so many things. I mean, I could name everybody on these worship teams that I have shared with, and we've lived life together over the last 13 years. And if you don't mind, I'm going to name a couple of them. I'm going to start with Logan Mann. That young man has been serving in the booth for years you guys may not even know about. And I've got to know him. I got to know him so well last year, I got to be a chauffeur to his prom. You talk about a blessing for me. I don't wear suits. I don't wear ties. He saw me in a suit and tie as I was, even with the chauffeur hat. That relationship is priceless. And I'm going to mention one other one. And this one's going to be difficult for me. Anna was here when we came and started worshiping. And I kind of adopted her. And we have shared so much over the years. And this has been so wonderful. I got to see her. She was in high school when we came. Got to see her go through the college years. She went to India, halfway around the world, brought somebody back, married, has a beautiful little girl. But I want to express that to you because until you've worked side by side in the Lord's ministry, you don't know what that's like. So I want to encourage you to pray. If you're not locked in and working and using what the Lord has given you, I'm going to ask you, seek Him. Ask Him, Lord, what have you given me? What can I give? What can I share? Because He puts something in all of us. Oh, gosh, it's just been so wonderful. This is very, very hard to do. Is Ashley in here? This is for you. Yesterday, I got to go to a hospital and visit a lady I know who is 90 years old. Wonderful, wonderful person. She was our children's church teacher when I was little. I'm 66. And I got to go to her and thank her for what she put in my life when I was that age. Sorry. Don't ever doubt what you're doing, Ashley. Again, so many people, so many relationships that we've prayed together, sang together, played together, cried together, laughed together. I could name more by name, but I won't. But I wanna pray for us as a body. Oh, when this decision was made, I started making phone calls to everybody on the teams, and because I wanted them all to hear it from me personally. And they would let me say what I had to say. And the question that I got asked the most was, are you leaving the church? It's what happens, right? Typically. We're not going anywhere. This is our church. And you are our family. But before I pray, I want to say one thing from my heart. Thank you for allowing me to serve. Would you pray with me? Father, I stand here this morning as a blessed man that you led Michelle and I to come here and be a part of this body. Have given us multiple opportunities to minister, build relationships. Father, I can never thank you enough. There's been some surprising relationships here. And Lord, I pray for everyone here today, everyone that's part of this body. Lord, as we all walk this walk forward together, serving you, Lord, guide our steps. Knit our hearts together tighter than they have ever, ever been. And Lord, I pray, may your work, your will, your desire be done in this place. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Terry. So he almost left out, by the way, I'm staying. Wow.
We are celebrating a faithful journey with Terry and Michelle, and we recognize and want to always emphasize that we worship our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. We know that. That's one of the reasons I mentioned that the body of Christ is a wonderful gift to us. Terry talked with me. He talked with the elders, and then he made personal phone calls that would have taken hours, literally hours. God provides leadership for his church. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And our Lord is amazingly committed to us as his body and his bride. He is the perfect, he is the perfect head. He is the perfect husband. He gave some apostles, and then prophets and evangelists, shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Your other three elders, myself, Kirk, and Brian, talked with Terry. We had dinner with Terry and Michelle Friday evening, and we wanted to let Kirk and Brian, and then I'll follow up, share our thoughts with us this morning. I'll finish in 1 Corinthians 12, time willing, where God uses the imagery of the body to describe us as the body of Christ. And Ash, you can make the call. Super Church can step out at this moment if you guys want to. That's what's going to happen. That's where we're going to go. You're Super Church lead, so you just get to do it on the spur of the moment. You guys want to take off? Very good. Super Church, you guys can go on downstairs. And we will see you in a bit. And as they're leaving, I'm going to invite Kirk Mann to come on up. Kirk, come on up. And why don't we, Billy, let's use green.
We're going to be, from my little piece of this, if you want to turn with me to 1 Kings. All right, I'm used to having my son said, make sure you put it right to you, so bear with me on that. 1 Kings chapter 19, Jerry talked about imagery, and if you wonder why we're doing all this, it's, you know, as an elder, Terry showed you how to serve. Now we're showing you the right way to step away from service. And so, I was good until they start crying. Okay, so we're looking at Elijah. And Elijah was in a little bit of a different situation. He was wanted for death. To my knowledge, Terry is not. So he was running. Well, I didn't mention Jerry. Somebody in Japan still probably looking for you. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. So Elijah's at the cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." What you need to see there is he's running because he wants to stop serving. He wants to be done there. Once his life was threatened, he took that. And Elijah, unlike Terry, feels alone. He thinks he's the only one doing what he's doing. Verse 11, and he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he He wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Look at Tiago. So good. How's this? We're going to switch. I want to keep talking. So, you might wonder, why did God do the big wind and the earthquake and the fire and then a small voice? Because Elijah was looking for it. Elijah felt alone. He was like, "God, I don't see any movement from you. I don't see anything happening from you." And so God let him see wind. And he let him see fire, and he let him see earthquake. And God wasn't in that. And what he was saying was, "You may not see me working, but I'm working." And so he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And they have the same conversation again. "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He's going to God again because he wants to step down from service in this capacity. You heard Terry say that he went to the Lord many times. The Lord said, "Not yet." He does the same for Elijah. He tells Elijah this. And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehelo, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place." So he tells him, "You still got some work to do." The Lord told Terry, "You still got work to do." We as elders knew that he wanted to set it down, but it wasn't time. And Terry sought the Lord until he had the peace from the Lord that it was time. And then it says, "And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death." He's talking about servants of Baal, and that's the reason Elijah was on the run. It said, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God was reminding Elijah, "You're not alone. There's 7,000 that haven't done that." The difference is Terry knew he wasn't alone. The reason we're doing this today is to show you guys that in our society, when somebody quits, there's a big to do, and they're done, and there's anger, and they leave the church, and it's nonsense. That's not the way to do it properly. And make no mistake, Terry is setting aside this service, but he still serves the Lord. He's not stopping service to the Lord. Now, Brian, right? Okay. This might have to go a little smaller.
I know it needs to be adjusted. Down and off to the side. Can you hear me? For those of y'all visiting with us, this church is organized as biblically based as we can. We operate under the headship of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is the head of our church, not the Pope, not the pastor. Jesus Christ is the head of our church. We have elders, plural. If you look at it scripturally, plural eldership is a biblical thing. And then we have deacons, and we have ministry leaders, all to help us focus on the ministries that we have opportunities to take advantage of and what the Lord leads us to do. So Terry shared with us this and we kind of all knew this was coming because we walked together. Let me read the qualifications for an elder overseer. It's in 1 Timothy. This saying is trustworthy. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. That's the same as an elder. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone cannot know how to manage his own household, how would he care for the church of God? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Terry, what I want to say to you is, good job. Being an elder is difficult. I've been in leadership positions in my whole life, and serving in this capacity is the most difficult and challenging that I have experienced. And Terry has experienced this, and he has done a good job. You were qualified when you started. You are qualified now. You served with diligence, dedication that was admirable and I respect, because I know it's easy to run out of gas. You're a quiet person. And respectful. You served quietly and respectfully in all that you did. But you were still willing to make a stand when it was time to make a stand. And when you made that stand, I knew that it was prayed about, scripturally searched, and you communicated it clearly and succinctly, and I wanted to hear what you had to say. You're a joy to work with. It was a pleasure. I know that you were led to be an elder of this church. I know that you are led to step down at this time. This is just a change that we all have to walk through. I appreciate who you are, what you have done, and the way you are doing it. You have my respect, my thanks, and this church thanks you.
Amen. 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 Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, thank you. Ephesians and 1 Corinthians and Colossians all tell us that Jesus is the head of the church, that we're his body, and that we're to hold fast to him. I think of being an elder, being a pastor, we get to deal with joyful things. I get to talk with people about baptism and the importance of following Jesus. And then we get to deal with gut-wrenching things also. I mean, like literally gut-wrenching things also. And you might say, well, what do we do now? Well, at least we've got Jerry and we've got Brian and we've got Kirk. We do what we've always done. We look to our Lord, who's the head, and we follow him, and we follow Scripture and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's the same today as it was yesterday, that it'll be tomorrow. Circumstances change, situations change, but that's what we do. We are his people. So Terry has spent a time serving as elder, but I don't want to not mention Michelle as well. She actually, from what I understand, entered into the worship ministry before Terry. That's 40 plus years, and so we appreciate their service to the Lord, and we applaud that, and we recognize it's because Jesus is our head. Colossians 1 says, he's the head of the body, the church. Chapter 2 says, let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism. Asceticism is an unbiblical negation of your flesh. There is a time to die to the flesh, but not an unbiblical one. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going in detail about visions, puffed up with reason by sensual mind, and this is what we are to do, holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that's from God. 1 Corinthians 12 goes into some pretty significant detail, and I want to just read through that. I'm not going to preach through it, but I want to just read through that together. 1 Corinthians 12, at least a portion of it, speaking of the picture or the imagery of a physical body. We've all been to the doctor's office and looked on the walls while you wait 15 or 20 or 30 minutes for the doctor, and we've seen their charts labeling and describing the ligaments and the muscles and the joints and the bones and the different parts of the body. I was in the emergency room a couple of years ago. I had been painting the bottom part of our exterior door on the deck, so I was laying on the deck and sliding along painting, and the next thing you know, I had about a 2-inch splinter of this old treated dirty wood in my leg. And I got up and stopped the bleeding and pulled the splinter out and thought everything was fine. And then a few hours later, I didn't feel all that great, and I reached down and touched my leg, and it was warm and it was getting hard, and I kept watching it, and the next thing you know, I had a line shooting up my leg, and I thought, my leg is getting my attention. It's part of my body, and it's saying, you will take care of me. And so I found myself in the emergency room, and the guy literally had a whole knuckle in my leg looking for a splinter, and he found the small piece that was there. Because whatever affects our body negatively or positively, either or, affects the rest of our body as well. And that's why we're giving ourselves to this morning in this communication. So also is with the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, the text is speaking about gifts, and then Paul uses imagery of the body to help us understand some of the things of the body of Christ. And I want to read just a few things and make a couple of comments, and that'll be it for today. I'm going to start in verse 12. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, how many are the body? One body, not the Lone Jack church body, the body of Christ all around the world, all times since the death of Christ till his coming again, one body, since the body is one and has many members. And so we've got people sprinkled out all over here, and there are those all around our world in all different times as well. For just as the body is one, has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. I think that's what spirit baptism is. When I'm born again, I, from the Spirit of God, am placed within the body of Christ. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, or if someone in our congregation would say, because I'm not an elder, or because I'm not a particular type of servant, because if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. No matter what that particular individual is saying, that doesn't make them any less a part of the body, because the body of Christ is one with many members. All right, verse 16, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? He's emphasizing here the need for different body parts. All right, everybody serves differently, and he's going to tell us how we get where we're at. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Regardless of what part of the body you are, you're part of the body of Christ. That's what he's saying, but he's going to say it in an even stronger way. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chooses. It isn't, hey, look at this, I sure would like to be that, I think I'll work for that. It's God who places the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses. Who's choosing here? God is choosing. Who's placing us here? God is doing that. Who? Each one of the members, each one of us that are part of the body of Christ. Verse 18 again, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. By God's design, by God's placement, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, he chooses where he places them. You and I have the privilege and responsibility of being in the body of Christ. That is our privilege. What an incredible place that we have in our confusing, distracted world. We are part of the body of Christ and have available to us the peace of God that passes understanding. He gifted as he chose each and every one of us. Don't say he hasn't gifted me. I have nothing to offer. That would be an insult to God who has gifted you and placed you in the body. And so don't do that. We're led by his Spirit in the ministry endeavors that we undertake. We must allow the Spirit of God and the truth of the Word of God to continue to lead us, even when it means change. Anything less would be disobedience. If God is convincing Terry and Michelle that it's time for them to step aside, not quit ministry, we do that until the day we die, even if it means praying for somebody in a hospital room or an ambulance, but if God is impressing upon them the need to step aside and they don't do that, that isn't faithfulness, that's disobedience. And so they need to be obedient to the Lord just as you and I need to be obedient to the Lord. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I learned that when I had a splinter up my leg. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. On those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, as treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God, notice who, but God has so composed the body. He composed the body, placed in the body where he wants us. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, one member honors is honored, all rejoice together. And so today we celebrate for Terry and Michelle and the faithful 40 years of service to the Lord. I'd like to suggest concerning Terry and Michelle, we celebrate a lifetime of Christian service. They're as perfect as you and I are. And we know that's not the case, but we have a head who washes us and cleanses us and equips us and calls us to service, and we should each one of us faithfully serve him as well. And they do, and they have done that, and they will do that by the grace of God, and we're thankful for that. As is true when a children's worker, that's true with a children's worker, it's true with a nursery worker, it's true with a kitchen crew, it doesn't matter where in the body God has placed you, where he has placed you, we need to be faithful unto the Lord until the day that he says, you know what, it's time for you to step aside. And we don't need to say, well, there's just a younger generation and we just need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And that's what they have done. I think about the Apostle Paul and how God used him, and at various times in his church planning endeavors, he would almost assign different ministry individuals to tasks. Titus says this, "This is why I left you in Crete." He says to Titus, "This is why I left you there. I'm assigning you there for this very purpose." He did the same thing with Timothy. "I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, you remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain people not to teach any different doctrine." This is what the Lord has for you as he sought the Lord as well. Since God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chooses, and the church is Christ's body and his bride, He gets to place us and to move us as he chooses. And that's not true just for preachers or for elders. That's true for every single ministry leader or every single ministry engaged individual in this congregation or in the body of Christ. Our task is one of being Spirit-filled, growing in the Lord, growing in our understanding of God's word, and seeking to serve him because of the goodness that he has bestowed upon us. Along that line, there are several who are wanting to become members of our church, and I wanted to mention them, and I thought that this was a pretty appropriate message to do that. And I don't think Aaron and Rachel, what a kind, they sit back here. They've got, are they? Oh, they are here. They are. What are you doing on that pew? You're supposed to be up here. Aaron and Rachel Wedekind, go ahead and raise your hand, you guys. That's them and their family. They're wanting to link arms with our church and join Kyle and Sarah Carter. They're right here as well. Clay Carter is here. They want to do the same. Kyle and Clay are brothers. Daniel and Paulina Nick. I'm never going to get over it, and I'm not even going to try. I know her as Paulina. You might know her as Paula. That's little Paula. And so little Paula and her husband Daniel are wanting to join hands with us. Victor and Kathy Rio back here as well are wanting to join. And so we're thankful for them and all of the people that are seeking the Lord in what place he would have you in this local body of the body of Christ. And so the word for you from Terry or scripture ultimately is serve the Lord with gladness and give him zeal and gusto all of the days of your life. Verse 27, you're the body of Christ and individually members of it. You're one unit as the body and at the same time, each of us individuals. And so this morning, and then he says at the end, and I think I'll wrap this up, and then he says at the end of this particular chapter, and I'm going to show you a still more excellent way, and he steps into explaining love and what genuine biblical love is and godly love is and what it looks like. This morning, we're thankful for all those among us who are faithful servants. It doesn't matter what your position is or what your task is. Continue to serve the Lord. We serve a Lord who gave his life on the cross for us. What more could I do than serve my Lord wherever it is that he wants me? We're celebrating Terry and Michelle, but we have a higher calling than that. All of us recognize that Jesus Christ is our head, that we're one body, that we're individual members, and yet we're members one of another. Acknowledging that God has arranged members in his body, each one as he chooses, let's remember that Jesus Christ is the head of his church. Okay, let's remember that. I mean, that's one of the dilemmas that I have with the mega churches is it seems to be a big kingdom of followers of men sometimes. And sometimes they would reject that, and yet people make that happen. And that's too bad. Jesus is the head of his church. That's who we need to look to. He knows what he's doing. The Spirit of God who leads us works in perfect unity with the Son of God. And so we hold fast to the head. We pursue him and we ask him, Lord, what would you have for me today? What would you have for us today as a church? Amen? That's a good word. That's a good word. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you. We acknowledge, Jesus, that you are the head of this church, one God, one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. We recognize that, and that is who we follow. We've been baptized or will be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we want to pursue you. Jesus, thank you that you're the perfect head of your body. We thank you that that you are the perfect husband to your bride, Jesus Christ, as in his body. And we ask that you would continue to lead us. We ask that you'd work in us. We ask, Lord, that you would use this congregation here in this unique place to bring tremendous glory and honor to your name. And we thank you that we can do that in Jesus' name. Amen.